This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wal aqibatu lil muttaqeen, wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursaleen, amma ba'd. Honorable ulama, respected elders and brothers, in a few minutes that I have been allocated, inshallah, I'd like to discuss various aspects pertaining to marriage, and we'll get straight into it. Firstly, I'd like to discuss personal hygiene and marriage. Secondly, how to budget. And thirdly, keeping the home clean and organized. The first aspect, as far as personal hygiene is concerned, the Prophet ﷺ has said, "Atuhuru shatrul iman." Cleanliness is half of faith. Imam Nasa'i rahmatullah alayhi, in his book Ishratul Nisa, has made mention of an incident. A wife came complaining to Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. And she said, "I want this marriage to be annulled. I want a divorce. I'm not happy any longer with this man." So Sayyidina Umar looked at the condition of the husband: disheveled, shabby, unkempt beard, you know, nails are very long. So he suggested to the husband, "Why don't you go home? I'm giving you some time. You know, get your hair well organized, trim your nails, take a bath, and get meticulous. Become particular with your hygiene." After some time, Sayyidina Umar followed up on the case and he inquired from the lady, what's happening? She said, "Oh, Amir al-Mu'mineen, I'm happy, I'm satisfied. I no longer want the divorce." When husband and wife are newly married, they are extremely meticulous about their personal hygiene. They make sure that they're fresh, they have a fresh breath. The clothes are neat. Both husband and wife are extremely meticulous. But as they settle into the marriage, and as they become informal towards each other, all these formalities tend to fall away. The husband no longer grooms himself, the wife no longer grooms herself, and so you find that these formalities no longer exist in the marriage. And naturally, you lose interest in each other. So personal hygiene is extremely important. There's a misconception out there. People feel that it's a sign of piety to be disheveled. It's a sign of piety to be untidy. It's a sign of piety to wear dirty clothes. Well, that is a misunderstanding. If you study the seerah and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you'll realize that the Prophet of Allah was extremely meticulous when it came to personal hygiene, especially as we go into the presentation, inshallah. The first thing I want to discuss is to exercise good dental care. I mean, imagine looking at the same picture with some biryani stuck there or some meat stuck there in between the teeth, or there's a foul smell emanating. Would your partner want to get close to you? And allow me to say, when we are single, we get away with a lot of bad hygiene practices. If a person doesn't shave, it's to his own detriment. But when a person is married, he can't get away with it any longer. That's because you are coming into touch with your partner on two fronts. One, on an intimate level. Now imagine you are intimate with your partner, and then there's these switch-offs, which I would call the inhibitors that you find. Then the person will be switched off from you. They don't want to engage in intimacy simply because of one bad habit that's found within you. So a foul smell could be off-putting for anybody. People have this notion, "No, if you love me, you must accept me how I am. So if my mouth is smelling, you must still love me." Now, loving you is one part, and your personal hygiene is another part altogether. You don't want to be put off by simple things like these, which a person can do. So the Prophet of Allah, whenever he entered the house, he first made miswak. This is showing regard for the partner. This is showing consideration for the person in front of you. That I'm coming into contact with my partner. What if my mouth is smelling? My wife doesn't want to be close to me. You know, you reach out to kiss your partner because you think that's the right thing to do, and they say, "Oh, hold it. Maybe later." So the Tic Tac will do a job. Or buy an Infinity Chappie, or but keep something. But be meticulous and be conscious about these facts. Remember, I'm going to be emphasizing on one aspect: switch offs. Switch offs, switch offs. Don't have any switch off in terms of your dress, your attire, or your personal hygiene when it comes to marriage. You don't want to have this situation when you get home. If that's the case, the first thing is to take a shower. Prepare yourself. If you study the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, before he would retire to bed, he would make wudu. Secondly, he would comb his hair. And thirdly, he would make miswak. Allahu Akbar. That's setting the scene. That's eliminating all the barriers between you and your partner. Now imagine the same scenario: getting into bed, smelling like flour, or smelling like curry, or smelling like the dish you just had a few minutes ago. Will that set the tone for intimacy and romance in the room, or will it just create barriers between you and your partner? And remember one thing: many times people keep quiet about it, and we think it's fine, it's accepted. So my wife won't say anything about my bed hygiene, so it's acceptable. Maybe she tried and she had no luck, so she gives up. You know, I gave up, I can't win with you. I've told you enough times, don't smoke before you come to bed. I hate it. The fact that I'm tolerating you smoking is enough, but don't do it now when you're just getting into bed. You think that partner of yours will be interested in getting intimate with you. So it's important that we eliminate all these inhibitors as we get married and settle into the marriage. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man kana lahu sha'run falyukrimhu." There is a narration of Abu Dawud: if you got hair, then groom it. If you want to keep a zulfa, alhamdulillah, but oil it. Oil it. Then rather go for the blessed the blessed way of doing it and keep no hair. But if you are keeping long hair, then groom it. Look after your hair. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sitting in Masjid al-Nabawi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and a man entered the masjid disheveled with unkempt hair, and the Prophet of Allah indicated, "Ama yajidu hadha ma yusakkinu bihi sha'rahu?" Does this man don't have a comb or something which he can arrange himself? The Prophet of Allah indicated, the man got the message, he went out, he groomed himself, and he came back inside. And the Prophet of Allah remarked that, is this not a better position to be in? Is this not more presentable when you're in a gathering with somebody else? Why do people leave themselves untidy like a devil? And this narration is found in Mishkatul Masabih. So a comb is very important to keep. The Prophet of Allah would regularly oil his hair. He would regularly oil his hair. I mean, this is a given. We don't even have to be told this. But like I said, you are interacting with your partner on an intimate level. You don't want these kind of things between the two of you. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Lengthen the beard and shorten the moustache." Having said that, the Shari'i requirement of the beard is it should be 1 fist long. After that, if it grows longer than that, then the Sharia requires, or the Sharia allows, a person to trim the beard. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala used to trim his beard after it would exceed a fist. Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab met a very untidy person whose beard was extremely long. So he had the beard trimmed. And after the beard was trimmed, he said to the people, "Why is it that you let your beard grow so wild that it makes you look like a wild animal?" So to practice in the sunnah way is also a sunnah. And this incident is mentioned on page 333 of Shama'il al-Kubra, where Sayyidina Umar's quotation is mentioned there. This is extremely important. Wear clean clothes. You don't have to wear expensive clothes, but what you do need to wear is clean clothes, because this attracts you. This is creating attraction for your partner. When you are neat, now imagine if I was sitting here in front of you and there was a big curry stain here. Probably you would be looking at the curry stain and not focusing on what I was saying. That is why the Quran says, "Ya ayyuhal muddathir, qum fa'andhir, wa rabbaka fakabbir, wa thiyabaka fatahhir." The Prophet of Allah is addressed in these verses. Allah says, O Nabi of Allah, when you are speaking about my greatness, make sure that your dressing is up to standard. Make sure that your dress code is proper. Make sure that your clothing is clean. The Prophet of Allah is addressed, وَثِيَابَكَ فَطَّهِّرْ. Keep your clothes clean. Because you don't want to sit next to a person who's got old, dirty clothes. So this is basically how a person needs to attract himself towards his partner. Oh, this is a given. Shower daily. Pay your nails. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I want you to just listen to this hadith. Allahu Akbar. Look at this hadith and then apply the same hadith to our lives. Subhanallah. The Prophet of Allah always had these five items with him, whether he was at home or whether he was on the journey. Number one, a mirror. Subhanallah. Number two, surma, which you apply in your eyes. Number three, oil. Number four, a comb. And number five, a miswak. What does this tell you about the Prophet's hygiene? Allahu Akbar. He wasn't only a Nabi in the masjid. He taught us how to lead a life, subhanallah, in such a way that we don't cause harm to anyone. Now imagine the Prophet of Allah is a leader sitting in front with disheveled hair, with a foul smell, with untidy clothes. Would people take on to his message? Subhanallah. So it's not just about being simple. It's also about being meticulous in your dress code and everything else. There's an incident mentioned. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, O my Sahaba, we are going to meet a group of people. أَصْلِحُوا رِحَالَكُمْ وَأَصْلِحُوا ثِيَابَكُمْ. I want you to make sure that your saddles are tidy, and I want you to make sure that your dress code is proper. We are going to meet people. Make sure you are neat and tidy. حَتَّى تَكُونُوا كَأَنَّكُمْ شَامَةٌ فِي النَّاسِ. Oh my Sahaba, I want you to stand out in the people. The people must say, these are the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Look at their dress code. They are so meticulous. They are so neat. They are so tidy. So the point that I'm driving here, brothers and sisters, is that there's no shortcut when it comes to personal hygiene. You either put a person off or you create the environment of you coming closer to the person. Here's a hadith. We can end off the first segment on. أغسلوا ثيابكم وخذوا من شعوركم واستاكوا وتزينوا فإن بني إسرائيل لم يكونوا يفعلون ذلك فزنت نساؤهم. O my Sahaba, wash your clothes. Take care of your hair. Use the miswak. Adorn yourself and remain clean. For the children of Bani Israel did not do so, and hence the women committed adultery. It's natural. Something that's beautiful and attractive will automatically appeal to you as a human being. It brings us to the second part of our presentation, and that is how to budget. There's a beautiful hadith here. Al-iqtisad fi an-nafaqah nisf al-ma'isha. Moderation in spending is half of earning. It's not about how much you make, it's how much you save at the end of the day. I just want to touch on this hadith and then very quickly we'll go through this section. Moderation means you need to draw the balance, and you can't be on either extremes. The one extreme is you are extremely miserly, and the other extreme is that you spend excessively. Those are the two extremes. The right path is the middle path, moderation. So let's say a person wants to buy a pair of shoes. The one extreme is to spend 80 rands. That's not being wise, because after 2 weeks you're going to go buy again. And the other extreme is to spend 3,000 rands. So these are the two extremes. The middle path is 800 rands, 900 rands. That's acceptable. It will give you a good pair of shoes that will last you at least a year or two without any difficulty. So that's what the Prophet of Allah is saying. Draw the balance in your spending. You won't have a problem. You don't want to be extremely stingy, nor do you want to be extremely loose with your finances. Be in the middle, inshallah. So don't spend more than what you earn. That's a rule of thumb. You know, when you walk into the mall, 24 months to pay, 48 months to pay, 36 months to pay, and you are tempted. And so you open an account here and you open an account there. Hey, you know what? I got enough time to pay. But who's forking out that money? It's us. And that is why many people are working hard, not for themselves, but rather to settle the accounts at the end of the month. SubhanAllah. So I'm going to go through this very quickly. I'm not going to dwell into these points, because just on this picture of the takeouts, how much does it cost a family to go out and eat? You are newly married, so maybe 200 rands, 250, 300 rands. But multiply that 4 times a month or 5 times a month, how much do you get? 5 times 3 is 15, times it by 12, you are spending at least 15,000 to 17,000 rands a year only for 2 people eating out. SubhanAllah. That same money can secure you 2 Umrah tickets if you save up a little more. You're not looking for extra money. You're just being savvy. You're going out for the picnic, alhamdulillah, not a problem. Why not consider making the meal at home and then going out? You're going out shopping for the day, not a problem. Why not pack some pot costs from home? It will save you easily 300, 400 rands. Because if you don't, as you are traveling, let me buy a cola, let me grab a chocolate, let me grab a crisp, 40, 50 rands gone. Now you go, you shop it for a little while, you get hungry, let's have some lunch. You spend another 200, 300 rands. You come home, you get home, you never cooked anything because you left in the morning without any preparations. I'll just order another pizza. We spend 500 to 600 rand in one day. But take the same example. The man is going out for a picnic, the man is going out for shopping, but he prepares his own pot course and he goes out. He saves himself easily 400 to 500 rands. SubhanAllah. The last part of my presentation is about being meticulous, and this Mullah Yusuf Wadi has specifically asked me to touch on these aspects, and I did not give it concerted thought until Mullah brought it up to my own attention. And I think it's important, maybe something we can consider and give it some serious thought. Now this is a well-organized home. Now imagine going into the house. Usually men, when they get into the house, throw the keys on one side, topi on the other side, kurta on the other side, socks on the other side, shoes on the other side. And now it's either you're waking up for Fajr or you're getting late and you need to get to work early. So you wake up 3 minutes, 4 minutes before the time. Where's my keys? Where's my keys? Where's my shoes? I left my pen there last night. Where is it now? But take the same example. A man gets into the house. He puts his topi in one area. He puts his keys in one area. His socks in one area. He's organized. The man wakes up 2 minutes before the time. He doesn't have to panic because he knows exactly where everything is. Likewise with a woman. Imagine if there's no electricity in the house. Can you work your way around the house without electricity and know exactly where everything is? Some people are untidy. Really, they're untidy and it doesn't bother them. I was on the radio and somebody called in to say, Mulana, please bring up an issue. I was a bit embarrassed and a bit shy to bring it up. But this caller says, you know, Mulana, there are ladies that are coming for talim and they put on a burqa. They think it covers the smell and the onion smell and everything. You must tell them, Mulana, that they need to put on perfume when they come in a gathering of ladies, and they must shower, etc., etc. So these are things that people are extremely vigilant and people are looking out for, even when you are socializing with them. Keep the kitchen clean, neat and tidy. Especially if you're eating at an Indian restaurant, make sure you don't walk past the kitchen. You don't want to see what happens there. I'm telling you, especially in an Indian restaurant. Late Maulana Bamji Rahmatullah Ali of Madhubad used to emphasize on this. He said, we've got the halal aspect of the industry, but we're not emphasizing on tayyib. Tayyib means how much of effort are you putting in the preparation of your food in terms of hygiene and everything. This is a given. I mean, you must always expect the odd visitor that can pop in anytime. We at the radio station are very meticulous about this because we are connected to other organizations on the same road. A lot of people come to the radio also to use the lavatory. Now imagine if they have to walk into your house or your organization and the lavatory is smelling or there's odors, etc., the person will be put off. These are, your father and your mother can come to visit you at your own place. Now imagine your father using, or your mother, or your mother-in-law, or your father-in-law using your lavatory. What impression are you giving them as a husband or as a wife? Okay. For newly married couples, there'll be a lot of intimate wear, etc. And let's be frank about it. You don't want your father coming to your house and witnessing intimate wear on the washing line. If that is the case, try and hide the intimate wear. Try and make sure that these things are not in public eye. Especially if you're living in a block of flats. People can see from their windows. And then they speculate, you know, oh, you know what's happening there. So rather cover these things. These are basics that Islam teaches us. Do not inconvenience people. And lastly, I'm not going to go through each of these, but if you open it, close it. If you turn it on, turn it off. If you unlock it, lock it. If you break it, admit it. If you can't fix it, call someone who can. If you broke it, then return it, etc., etc. These are basic teachings of life. It's the small things that becomes big things, and they start irking the person and it irritates them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us all and give us the ability to be meticulous people in life, inshallah.